listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 16 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside SB Live regional editor Nate Olson, and we appreciate you tuning in and joining us. February is here, or if you're listening on Monday, it's one day away. We're getting close to the beginning of postseason tournaments, and teams are competing for those top spots in their respective conferences. Hope you all are staying warm. We've had a lot of cold weather as of late, but we've got some relief this week with some highs in the 50s and 60s. Of course, that doesn't matter once you get in the gym, but it's a great week to get out and see some games. We've got some great ones on the slate, which we'll talk about here in just a second. But, Nate, I know you've been out and about a lot here over the last 7 to 10 days, so I don't know if you're going to get out and see any games this week or not, but I know you've definitely had a full slate doing some things for JD's birthday and also covering some games early last week.
Yeah, went out to Bryant, saw North Little Rock play there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And the column I wrote about, you know, little adversity that North Little Rock had to deal with on Tuesday in that crowd. And yeah, I'm dealing with a hip that needs replaced and a knee that's hurt. And so, you know, walking and getting up and down is not very fun for me right now. And I had my surgery was supposed to be in January and I got COVID. So now it's in March. And so trying to get through the basketball season. And they said, do you want to have it March 1st? And I said, absolutely not, because I gotta, even if I'm at 40%, I still have to get the hot spring. So I know that the AAA staff, I mean, if I need a wheelchair to get in there, they'll do it. So, and you can wheel me in if I need that.
I'll leave that up to the intern on that one.
He'll do that. Yeah, he'll help me in there. JD will help me in. But I definitely didn't want to miss the state championship. So yeah. We'll play hurt for a few more weeks and get it done, and then hopefully by football season be good as new. So, but yeah, it's that time of year. There's a lot of good games jockeying for position, and it's fun. You know, it's kind of the prelude of March Madness. And you know, in these smaller classifications, you start postseason play just, you know, really pretty soon. So, buckle your seatbelts and enjoy the ride the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. I think there's a couple of teams that finish up their season either this week or next. A lot of the smaller schools do have about three or four games left, with some of them may have actually already completed. I'm not exactly sure for maybe some of the 1A schools, but we'll go ahead. You mentioned the North Little Rock Bryant game. We'll go ahead and start right there with top-ranked North Little Rock getting over number 20 Bryant. Of course, these are the previous rankings, which the Bryant one will change as the ones that come out next week. North Little Rock will remain the number one team, but 73-65 over Bryant. Now, Bryant tied it at 40 in the third quarter there. North Little Rock really began to pull away in the fourth. Nick Smith Jr. with a double-double, 26 points, 11 rebounds. Kalel Ware, 19 points, 5 rebounds. Corey Washington, 23 points and 6 rebounds. And I want to highlight Kaysen Robinson here. Put up 31 points, 6 of 6 from 3. He really gave Nick Smith a lot. And, Nate, I'll let you kind of elaborate more since you were there. But kind of seeing some of the highlights and actually watching a little bit of the stream, he really did give Nick Smith Jr. just about all that he wanted. And Kaysen had an absolutely phenomenal week. The 31 points that he had from on that game Tuesday night with Bryant, and then also in a 58-53 game over Conway, he had 26 points and 9 rebounds, 3 steals, so just short of a double-double there. And then Saturday in a 75-58 defeat over Little Rock Southwest had 21 points. So really big week for Kaysen. He's been a Division I prospect really since he's been in the high school ranks for the most part, or at least over the last couple of years. But I'll tell you, Nate, Bryant is looking really, really good right now. I mean, that one loss to North Little Rock is all that they have in conference, the top-ranked team in the state, one of the best teams in the nation. They're looking really, really good right now.
Yeah, I'm impressed with them. And I think that they're really, you know, they're kind of one player away from being super elite. You know, they've got, you know, TJ Lindsey playing inside, and he is a Division I football prospect, but a guy, you know, he did step out and hit a three on Ware, but not a guy that is necessarily going to hurt you inside with you know, offensively. So it was one more guy like that, they would probably be, you know, a state title contender. But the way the tournament is, you never know, and they still could make a run there. They impressed me with their IQ and the ability to play defense. They were not intimidated at North Little Rock, and the crowd really was a big factor. You know, after the game, Ware kind of downplayed it and said it didn't affect them, and maybe it didn't affect them, but I think it affected Bryan. I think it gave them an extra charge. I mean, every time Robinson hit a three, they were in it. They were giving them a boost. I mean, they got behind by six or seven, and they got them back in it to where they tied the game. And so that game was ended up being 8 points, but that game was probably one of the better atmospheres you're going to see, even with COVID and everything this year. It was awesome. And Bryan has a great arena. The student section, I put that on Twitter. If you saw that picture, I mean, it was the whole end zone was full of students.
Yeah.
Most of them were from Buck James's four-time defending state championship football team. They were really loud. At one time, you know, I mentioned this in the column, Smith found his way over there after a loose ball and had a couple words with a couple of the guys that were leaned over the railing. And then not long after that, Corey Washington got hit with a technical for talking a little noise to one of the Bryant guys. I mean, it made it an electric atmosphere. It was emotional.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. And I, you know, Robinson, he really impressed me with the threes. You know, Bryant missed a couple from other guys that if they had made those, North Little Rock went through a little stretch in the third quarter where they didn't score. And then if Bryant had been able to score there and hit a couple of those and go up six, what I would really like to see, and we didn't see it in this game, Kyle, is what North Little Rock would do if they're down six in the fourth quarter or, you know, four. What are they going to do? You know, how are they going to respond to that? And the only time that they've trailed to the bigger teams in Florida, and they lost to Jonesboro. But what are they going to do in an Arkansas gym? Like what they've done to Bryant, and they did a good job. Give them credit, even when the score was tight and it was tied, you never really felt like they lost control of the game. Like I had talked to Johnny Rice afterward. Even great teams. And you see this in college basketball. You dribble it off your foot. You take a shot you shouldn't. And you commit a silly turnover. You know, you pass it to the guy and he's not looking. And the crowd just notches up three notches. And then it snowballs. And then one mistake turns into three. And then the next thing you know, it's a 7-0 run or, you know, whatever. That didn't happen. I mean, they did go on a run. But then, you know, North Little Rock got the lead back. They're calm. The other thing, and then I'll let you talk. Nick Smith plays good defense. I mean, I know Robinson scored a lot of points, but at the end of the game, one, I admire Nick because some guys that are very talented don't always do the little things. But I think Nick has, you know, some pride in his game. He works hard. I don't see anybody on North Little Rock taking plays off. And you know, that's something I look at when I go to football. You know, you and I both do that, Kyle. We go to football and basketball games. We look at these top prospects. What are they? How do they carry themselves? What are they doing, you know, in the huddle? And in the third quarter, when things were getting a little tight, Nick's in there talking to everybody. Hey, we got to step it up. That's what a guy that's number three player in the country or five or whatever he is needs to do, a McDonald's All-American. And I think Ware is more of a, you know, lead by example guy. But Nick is telling and not getting in their face. He's just like, hey, let's go. We got to play. So all the way around, I was impressed with Bryant and I was impressed with North Little Rock. How when a mark of a great team is when you don't play well and you still win, especially on the road. And it's going to happen. And they handled it very well.
One more thing I want to add about North Little Rock and we'll move on to the next one is, you know, you talked about they being – up by 6 points and Bryant began, actually Bryant tied it and, you know, kept it close a few times there. And then what are they going to do when they're down? Because at times that they have been, they've had those three losses, two out of state and then to Jonesboro, like you mentioned, But Nate, I don't know that. I mean, I feel like Bryant right now is really about the only team that can compete with them in the Central. Normally, over the last few years, it's been Little Rock Central that has, and they have kind of been all over the place this year. Northside is down this year. Then you look up in the West there. Bentonville has been good. They've had some really good wins, played a really tough schedule, particularly in the non-conference, but have been a little bit inconsistent in their conference play. Right now, I think you got to say that probably, and we'll talk about them here in a second, but Fayetteville might be the team. I don't necessarily know the team to beat North Little Rock right now, but they're definitely the hottest team in the West at the moment. And so I just don't really know. And Bryant, again, did a fantastic job against them, competed with them really till the fourth quarter there when North Little Rock pulled away. But I just really don't know that there is anybody in the 6A. You know, I guess maybe when we first started talking about them at the beginning of the year when we transitioned to basketball, it was like there's nobody that's going to beat them in the state. And I still feel that way. I know Jonesboro already has. I'm talking about moving forward. Yeah. That might be really the only team that could beat them again. And I'll go right into that. Speaking of Jonesboro, another big week for the number two team in the state. Started off with an 82-66 win over number 12, Nettleton. Isaac Harrell with 22 points, Deion Wesson 17, Jesse Washington 15, and Oklahoma State commit Keon Williams 13. So the Hurricane had four guys in double figures in that game. And then Friday, the big one, and pretty much the game of the week, 56, I guess we didn't set a game of the week, but this was probably it right here. 56-35 over number 7, Marion. Now, Jaden Forrest, Marion's top-rated player, did not play in that game. We really don't know any details other than that, but he was not on the floor. Washington led the Hurricane with 15 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals in that one. Keon Williams with 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 steals as well. And, Nate, we've debated here and there. Last week we talked about the depth of Jonesboro compared to the depth of North Little Rock. There's been a heavy debate. I've heard a couple of times on radio call-in shows in the last week or so about how Jonesboro should possibly be ranked number one. There is a great debate over that because all in all, they did. I think you look at North Little Rock's body of work and you put them at the number one spot there. But I do understand the whole thing about Jonesboro beating North Little Rock head to head. You certainly have to take that into consideration. That's one of the top considerations you have to think of. But watching, I've seen Jonesboro a few times this year and like a couple of quarters here, a couple of quarters there, plenty of highlights. But this was the first one that I've really watched all the way through, like from tip until the final whistle. And I just don't know. And again, I'm not saying that I feel bad for putting North Little Rock number one there in that top spot in our rankings, but I certainly, I debate with myself about it along with other people about how deep this Jonesboro team is. I mean, they just looked crisp all the way around. All five guys that were on the floor, whether it were guys coming off the bench, they just play great basketball. And again, I know that you really have to factor in Jaden Forrest not playing because though Jonesboro may have still won this game, that certainly would have played a factor and maybe been at least a little closer, a little more competitive than it was. But Nate, this Jonesboro team, I certainly don't see how they don't win a second straight state title.
Yeah, and they may even have an easier road to winning it, than North Little Rock the way they're playing. I mean, there are some teams that could give them a run, but you know, even with Forrest, I mean, maybe that's not even a close game. I told Bud Schropel, appear on his show Front Row with Budrow every Friday, told him that I think the game at Marion is the one that would circle as the toughest. You know, the football team went down there and figured out how hard it is maybe to win at Marion. They were cruising and went down there and lost. And it's a bit of a trap game because I don't know if they'll have a conference title. I mean, they might tie with Marion maybe, but I think that's going to be one that will be the toughest. But in the tournament, even, I don't know. I mean, you're right. They're deep. He is pound for pound, as I told Budrow, you know, probably the best coach, one of the best coaches in the state. He knows the personnel. He scouts summer basketball, so there's not a kid that he doesn't see. And just a great players coach. Guys like him, and they play for him. Good basketball IQ. So, yeah, there's a debate. You've done a fantastic job with the rankings, with ranking the and we're not ranking the players, but listing the players when the top seniors are out to vote. You know, soon the people will be able to vote for that. Juniors are coming. You've done just a magnificent job with the research. A lot of people don't understand the time you've taken to look at that, the tape you've watched, and all that. So, I mean, I stand by your rankings, and North Little Rock is ranked in the country. So, I mean, you're not the, you know, SB Live Sports Illustrated poll 12, other polls too. So they agreed with you and kind of called the Jonesboro game sort of an anomaly, looked at their body of work, have them ranked, you know, everybody else in the state has North Little Rock number one. But as you go along, I think Jonesboro is making more and more of a case for it because of what they're doing against their competition. And a great way to settle this would be to play another game. And I don't think that they'll ever have an overall tournament again, but I wish they would do it, especially now with as basketball crazy as things are getting now. I mean, people would like to see Magnolia play North Little Rock. I mean, they might not be able to hang with them, but I think people would like to see Darian Ford play Nick Smith, wouldn't they? I mean, I would. I think that'd be fun. So that would be the way to settle it. And until that happens, it's going to be hard to settle it. But I agree with what you have. I agree with your ranking. You're good there. But Jonesboro is always going to bang the drum. And people up there, you know, they want them to be number one. But
yeah, it's a great debate. I mean, it really is. I certainly see both sides. And I know that's such a cop-out response and answer, but I really do. There is the fact that they beat North Little Rock head-to-head, I certainly I wouldn't say that I disagree with someone if they say that. I mean, I guess that kind of conflicts what I'm doing because I'm putting North Little Rock at number one. But really overall, my point is that there is a great debate on both sides, and it'll continue to be debated because, like you said, there's especially like let's say that North Little Rock hypothetically gets upset in the state tournament. Jonesboro wins the 5A championship. Yeah, I think right there you've got to put them probably as the number one team at the end. But that's still going regardless of what happens. I think that this will be a debate for a long time, just considering the names that are on this North Little Rock roster, but then the overall depth of Jonesboro. I think that we're going to be talking about these two teams for a while.
Yeah. The bigger picture is it's just really awesome that Arkansas has two teams that are that good. I mean, you know, Jonesboro is getting ranked in other national polls, like in the 40s. That's good. I mean, that's, you know, it's hard to crack those things. And, you know, I think the SB Live poll is, you know, it's a 25, but, you know, I'd like to tell them to look at them a little bit. I think it's going to be hard to get in the 25, but I'm going to put, you know, we talked to the guy, Andy Bueller, that does those rankings every week about North Little Rock and stuff. And I'm, you know, he knows about Jonesboro. I'm going to tell him, like, no, you probably can't put them in there, but keep, I mean, if they went out the rest of the year,
certainly deserve. I think they're in the mid 40s now. They're like in the early, the last time I checked, it was 46th, I believe.
Well, if you couple the fact that they were to go undefeated the rest of the year and they beat North Little Rock, so you've got a top 10, 12 and North Little Rock, maybe a top 10 team by then, if they went out. That's a pretty solid resume.
Yeah.
I mean, to be a top 25 team in the country. But yeah, Andy does a great job along with Sports Illustrated. We're proud as a company to be partnered with them. And but he knows about Jonesboro, knows about the loss, and I think he understands that they're a good team too. But yeah, it's great. You know, and then you've got Magnolia, who's undefeated in that year, top five, and Parkview, who's good. I mean, it's a good time to be a basketball fan here. And I'm telling everybody, and I told the people in Jonesboro, you know, on the radio, and telling, you know, people in Bryant were asking me when that game was. Like, they didn't know what time those games started, and they want to go see Nick Smith. I talked to one guy. He's like, I wasn't going to miss this game because I wanted to say that I could see that I saw him play in high school. And that's, I've encouraged everybody, said, if you have a chance, if they're in your town, go watch them. The intern was showing me that in Cabot, you know, people were getting Nick Smith's autograph.
Oh yeah.
And pictures afterwards. your team just got thumped by him. And but I mean, he's going to be a Razorback, and that's on everybody's radar. I mean, they're glad. I mean, yeah, he might beat your high school team, but next year he's on your team. I mean, he's on your team. So I think Nick's embraced that, Clell, and those guys are rock stars. I mean, they're like the Beatles, they're like the Globetrotters. I mean, they people come to see them, teams want to beat them, and the crowd wants to watch them, even the opposition, you know, wants to see him play. So it's a great basketball time now. It's really, really good.
Yeah, we're probably never going to have – I think the only time in history that we've ever had two McDonald's All-Americans on the same team was Greg Oden and Mike Conley Jr. in 2006 out of Lawrence North in Indianapolis. So I think that's the only time in history that is. So we'll probably never have that happen again. It's definitely, if you get a chance to see him, you definitely need to do that. So
that's the only time in history of anybody, the whole country, that somebody's
from,
been on
this, from dude. The I only looked back to about the last 30 years. How long have they had McDonald's? Is it like probably 40 years or so that they've done that?
I know it goes back to the 80s.
Yeah, because I looked back pretty much until I think the 90s, and the only time I saw was Oden and Mike Conley. So yeah, it's pretty big deal. And
it's impressive.
When I told Johnny Rice that, he didn't even know, which, you know, it's pretty crazy stuff. But
yeah.
And then some other top 25 matchups we'll go through. Number 4, Parkview, 80-40 over number 24, Sylvan Hills. Number 6, Farmington, over 68-36 over a pretty good Gentry team. Now, that was also a really good girls game as well. And, Nate, I got to point out, too, everybody talks about Lane Taylor, and rightfully so, the fantastic sophomore from Farmington. But Mateo Carbonell's done really well over the last few weeks as well. Big contributor, got a couple of double-doubles here, or at least one. Against, I believe it was Huntsville, where he put up 20 points, 11 rebounds. And then against Gentry, 13 points and 10 rebounds. And also Nathan Monroe added 12 points and 5 rebounds in the Gentry game. But just wanted to point that out, is because we focus a lot on Lane Taylor. And again, it's very warranted. He's a great player. But I've been seeing this Mateo Carbonell a lot on Twitter lately. So been really stepping up for the Cardinals. Just wanted to give him a quick shout out. And then we had a lot of upsets from here. Green County Tech 47-43 over number 14 West Memphis. Bologna, this was a pretty big one. Bologna 56-47 over number 15 Russellville. They snapped Russellville's 7-game win streak, and Bologna was undefeated in conference play up until they lost to Siloam 35-34 the other night. Pine Bluff 60-42 over number 18 Lakeside. Number 19 Springdale 60-52 over number 10 Bentonville. Then we go to Friday. This was probably the upset of the week. Searcy 69-65 over number 12 Nettleton. And then, Nate, what I was just talking about, sir, I'll also say this game before we go into Fayetteville Harbor. Number 19 Springdale 60-49 over number 13 Bentonville West. And then number 11 Fayetteville 76-51 over number 9 Harbor. Landon Glasper, the fantastic senior for Fayetteville, surpassed 1,000 points. It finished with 25 on the night, 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Fayetteville is now on a 10-game win streak, first place in the West. And, Nate, I'll tell you, you know, I've mentioned how I talked with Coach Stamps around the holidays, and that was when he felt that Fayetteville was really beginning to turn the corner. They've really had to lean on Glasper a lot this year as their senior leader, got a lot of sophomores playing. They are right now, other than North Little Rock, they're probably the hottest team in 6A, the way that they have been playing. And now they've moved into they're going to move into our top 10 for sure this week, beating a top 10 Harbor team. I am very impressed. We knew that Brad Stamps is a great coach, one of the best in the state, but just what he's been able to do with this young Fayetteville team with Landon Glasper's leadership is crazy good.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young talent there, and Glasper, a guy you can trust in the big situations. I'm, you know, looking ahead, because we're on a podcast, we're not coaching, a North Little Rock Fayetteville matchup, what that would look like and might happen at Little Rock Southwest in the tournament, which I think that would be an advantage for North Little Rock. It's not a home game, but your home area, you're going to have a lot of fans. The students are going to be there. So it'd be kind of, you know, it'd be a little bit of an advantage there. It was a state championship game, Hot Springs. Maybe the same thing, a little bit of the same thing, but I think athletically they could do it. You got to rebound against North Little Rock, and that's the thing that hurt Bryant. They did not rebound especially well as a team. And Corey Washington beat them on a couple stick backs in the fourth quarter. And that was really a difference in the ball game. So you've got to rebound well. Everybody's got to rebound well. And you know where in the middle, seven footer. I mean, you got to know where he is. He's going to be on the boards, but you've also got to, Nick Smith and Corey Washington are 6'5", 6'6". So they're going to get rebounds too. So you've got to do that, play good defense. But I think that they are athletically a good matchup, but the inexperience could play into it. But I think as you go along the season, and you know this too, when you get to the end of the year, your sophomores are more like juniors then. But the other thing about it is that, I don't know how battle tested you are there. And the Central is probably a little bit tougher, but it's a little down too, except for the top. But that's all going to play into it too, is, how tested you are going into that game, because it's going to be tough. But that, I think, right now, those are the two top two teams, obviously, in 7A. And Bryant would be right behind Fayetteville probably. But that'll be an interesting matchup if they played each other.
And then we go over to the girls' side here, number two, North Little Rock. So we'll start with that game with number 19, Bryant. They won 62-50, the girls did. Bryant went on a 12-0 run. This was also – both of the Bryant-North Little Rock games were extremely competitive. Bryant had gone on a 12-0 run in the second, and then into the third to tie it at 28. They went toe-to-toe with the Lady Charging Wildcats, one of the top – the top team in the state right behind Conway at number two. And they were down Bryant was just down 44-41 at the end of the third before North Little Rock was able to get it really going and pull away there. UCA commit for Bryant, Paris Atkins, led all scorers with 27 points and 7 rebounds for North Little Rock. Jazzeray Vick, 13 points, 3 of 4 from three. Junior April Edwards with 12 points, and then Amari Williams, the top-ranked girls player in the state for Arkansas for 2022, 10 points and 9 rebounds. And, Nate, I'll tell you, so for the girls' side, the Bryant girls team, they kind of remind me a lot of Fort Smith Northside in football this year. They're a really good team, but they just can't quite yet get over the hump of the really good teams that they play. Pretty much all of their losses, I think actually all of them, have been to a ranked team. Conway, North Little Rock, Cabot was one of them. But other than that, they've taken care of business. So they're a really solid ball club, no question. It's just, can they get over the hump and get that big one? That's what we continuously talked about pretty much with Northside and during football season is, okay, they've got this opportunity now. Can they take advantage of it? And they've showed – so I think that they're going to be extremely battle-tested here once we get into postseason play, and that could help them. But it's just, man, look at those Northside games and the Bryant games, the Conway, and really probably nobody's going to beat Conway in state this year. They've only had that one loss to Duncanville and the Sandra Meadows Classic. But this Bryant team is very solid, very aggressive, and very finesse. But it's just, can they get over the hump and get that big win, that signature win that they need?
That's a great analogy with Northside football. That's really spot on, buddy. That's good. I think they're like a player away. They've got Paris, you mentioned, and then Finley is a good player. And then, after that, it's some role player complementary types. And it's tough in that league when you've got North Little Rock and Northside and Conway to fight that battle with two players. I mean, you kind of need, two marquee players. I mean, you kind of need a third one, three amigo type. And that's what they've got at those other places. So they fought. North Little Rock did not play particularly well. Part of it was Bryant, and I love Bryant's hustle. Brad Matthews is a guy I've known a long time, all the way back to Harmony Grove, and he's a good coach, I think an underrated coach. But that's been the thing with Bryant, is they've had good players over the years, but they've had one or two of them. I mean, they haven't been able to put together, a team, the talent that those three teams I mentioned have. And you don't need that to win all the time, but you do need that to win when you're playing teams like that. And so they were right in the ball game, couldn't quite get it. I think they are a team that can beat some 6A West teams. and could get to the semifinals. They've got, you know, enough talent to do that, but it is definitely hard to beat, you know, talking about top three teams with those other teams. That's difficult to beat them.
Yeah, it's a brutal. I mean, even the 7A West or 7A, 6A West, I'm still stuck on football there. The 6A West is very talented too, but I mean, it is just brutal there at the top. I mean, you think about the top three there with North Little Rock and, or with Conway, North Little Rock and Northside, but then Cabot's really, really tough. Bryant's another team that's really tough. That is even in there in the middle of the pack, you've got some quality teams that might be able to be one of those sleepers and make a run there come state tournament time. And so, and then also one that we covered, this was Buck Ringgold who covered this one for us. Number three, Northside, 50-44 over number 17, Cabot. Now, this one was delayed, I think, for like the third time, Nate. They had been trying to open up this new gym for Northside for a while. And then the JV game, everything went completely fine, but then they had some malfunctions with the scoreboard that held everything back. But they also introduced formally the new head football coach, Felix Curry, for the who's been, of course, the defensive coordinator for the last 9 years. They introduced him at that game once it finally got going, once all the festivities began to happen. And then Hatiana Relaford, 16 points, led Northside. Cassidy War with 12 points, and then 9 of those coming from three-point range. And then for Cabot, Layla Reese and Jenna Cook both had 12 points. And so just talking about, like we said there, Nate, a very tough Cabot team. They were one that I think that a lot of people, myself included, slept on a little bit there, especially at the beginning of conference play. And then you look at how they battled against some of the top teams and some of the wins that they've had. I know they've got wins over Harbor, wins over Greenbrier, to some ranked teams there, and then dang near came close to possibly beating, I mean, you think about it right here, 6-point game, and then they battled the entire time, came close to beating one of the toughest teams in the state in Northside on the road.
One thing that's really interesting is how many times do you see that the home team is kind of at a disadvantage at playing at home? Never. But it really bothered the Northside kids that those delays. I mean, you know, Buck in his story wrote that, you know, one of the girls thought they might have to move the game next door by the old field house, you know. And I talked to Buck and I said, you know, is that really talk of that? He said, no. But she was just, you know, I guess thinking the worst case scenario, if they couldn't get it going, that they might have to go. And I was asking him what the proximity is. And he said, it is like across the street. So, but I think it got into their heads a little bit. And, you know, you're in that dressing room and you're so amped up to play. And then you get out there and you're in front of a big crowd and it's a new place. And then you don't play. And I don't think they played their best. And, you know, Cabot really was not too worried about where they were playing and just was ready to play. And I think it showed. But, yeah, that's one more team in that league that's good. You're not going to find too many conferences in the country that are that loaded. I mean, because Bryant's a good team, Cabot, and then you've got the three that are, you know, regionally very good compared to the rest of the region, and one that's one of the tops in the country. It's a heck of a conference to play in. And so that's going to be really interesting, the tournament, how they match up with the other, with the 6A West.
Then also number 5, Farmington. We touched on this a little while ago. Number 5, Farmington, 60-45 over a very good Gentry team. I think at this point they had only had – Gentry had had one loss, just like Farmington. They might have been undefeated, but Toby Tebeval, great coach up there, had a great run. I know at Carlisle. Didn't Toby go from Carlisle to Gentry back to his hometown, I think? But I know he was at Carlisle for a while and did really well there.
Yeah, he was.
But the Lady Cardinals led 30-22 at half, and then by the end of the third, just busted it wide open, was up by 20. Jenna Lawrence, the Razorback commit, the junior forward with 21 points. Carson Dillard with 17, and then for Gentry, Alyssa McCarty, 19 points, and then 9 of 9 from the free throw line. The Lady Cardinals just continue to roll. Russellville with a 60-59 upset over previously number 8, Bologna. Number 14, Marion, 56-43 over number 24, Paragold. Jonesboro, 48-26 over number 21, Nettleton. And also, too, Nate, I want to talk about, give a couple of shout-outs here from some of the games in the early week. Boonville, the Lady Bearcats, they are off to their best record in school history. I think right now it's 18 or 19 and counting. Once they hit the 17-0 mark, that was the best start in school history. And then also, I always love stories like this. Lake Hamilton, they defeated Whitehall 63-40. And Haley Wyrick, who the outstanding senior, going to go play at Arkansas Tech, she participated in the homecoming activity. She was actually the homecoming queen and then went out and scored 34 points. We've seen that.
Yeah, before. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You always love to hear stories like that. Great player, great kid. Heard a lot of great things about her from Coach Conley talking to him. And so really cool story there. Then we go into Friday, number 2, North Little Rock, 64-49 over Cabot. So Cabot played a pretty brutal week last week, facing off against the number 2 and number 3 teams. Number 6, Greenwood, 62-47 over number 23, Greenbrier. And then number 8, Valonia, previously number 8, Valonia, they rebounded 45-39 over number 18, Siloam Springs. And then this was the really big one, Nate. I watched this. Was a great game. I mean, for a while, it was a blowout. But Jonesboro, 54-47 over number 14, Marion. Jonesboro was up by 25 in the second half, and then Marion really picked it up. They began to press, and they nearly got the comeback. But Jonesboro holds the top spot in the 5A East. Both the girls and the boys hold the top spot in the 5A East. And, of course, Jonesboro will see themselves in our rankings next week. But that was a big – both Marion and Jonesboro have great basketball teams for the boys and the girls. And I was really just watching this one too, because I was going to watch the boys game right after that. I was kind of flipping back and forth. And, you know, after it got up 25 points, I was just kind of like, well, I think I'm going to go check out something else. And then I kind of just checked for an update. And then all of a sudden, Marion's storming back. And so, you know, that was, again, a really good one. Of course, Jonesboro girls, really, they've had a pretty good season overall, a little bit inconsistent, but have really began to pick it up in 5A East play, and that's why they've got the top spot.
Yeah. Well-coached, defending champs. You know, you may hear from them again in Hot Springs. You never know. Peaking at the right time. We're going to use that phrase probably way too much. I will the next couple weeks. And I think it's true with them. This is when you want to be playing good. And I think they are. So Jonesboro is just a good basketball town all the way around.
Yeah, Northeast Arkansas just has amazing team. I mean, even when you look at some of the lower classes, even, you know, even just up there, it is a great town. Yeah, Jonesboro, especially Marion, West Memphis, especially when you look at all that stuff. It's Nettleton, historically, just a lot of great stuff up there. And so, and then, so we go into our top games of the week. We'll start with the girls. Monday, out of the 3A2, you've got Harding Academy at Clinton, 2A2, Cedar Ridge at Salem. And then we go into Tuesday. We've got a couple of really good ones in the 5A West, Greenwood at Bologna, Greenbrier at Siloam Springs. So the Lady Panthers take that long trip up there to the northwest corner of the state. 3A2, Mountain View at Harding Academy. I believe those two teams actually play a makeup game Saturday as well. Mountain View 12-4, Harding Academy 16-4. So two of the better teams there in 3A, or at least trying to fight for supremacy in the 3A2 there. 6A West, Harbor at Bentonville. 5A Central, Jacksonville at Sylvan Hills. On Wednesday, out of the 2A8, the top game there will be Lafayette County at Gurdon. Moving to Friday, the 5A South, Lake Hamilton at Lakeside. In the 6A West, you've got Rogers Heritage at Harbor. 4A4, this is going to be a big one, Pottsville at Morrilton. Pottsville handed the Lady Devil Dogs their only loss, the only conference loss of this year. And so Morrilton will get a chance to get some revenge on Pottsville at their home court. 4A7, Bauxite at Nashville. Nashville, one of the better teams in the state. We've got them in the top 10. They're currently sitting at 20-2 on the season. The 5A East, a couple of good matchups. Marion at West Memphis, Nettleton at Greene County Tech. The 6A Central, Northside at Little Rock Central. Little Rock Central trying to bounce back after a couple of losses from some of the better teams in the state. 6A West, Bentonville West at Bentonville. But our girls' game of the week, it'll be North Little Rock at Conway next Friday. North Little Rock trying to get the better of Conway after Conway got the better of them at their home court. But a 1-2 matchup, Nate, we get it again. We might see those two teams again in the postseason as well.
Yeah, probably will. And that's, yeah, The frustrating thing for Daryl Fimple is that he's got a really good team. I mean, they're good, but Conway has one of those kind of, you know, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but you know, one every 10 years or 20 or whatever, stacked. And Coach Hutchcraft has had some good teams at Conway, but I think she'd agree with us that this is one of those, you know, out of the ordinary teams. And so they may not get touched. I mean, they may not lose it again. You've got some basketball to play, and she would use that old cliche, one game at a time, like her father, you know, would. Not going to overlook anybody, but they're so talented that, I mean, when you talk about these teams that are ranked in the country, that's something to be said. I mean, that's a different kind of team. I mean, that's, you look at North Little Rock guys, I mean, that's a lot of talent. And same thing with Conway. So it's hard for, you know, a regular team to beat them. I mean, North Little Rock's not a regular team. They're talented, but this, it could be good. I mean, I think, you know, Daryl saw him once and, you know, they played him decent. Think he'll play him hard again and see what happens, but that it's going to be hard to beat Conway. I don't think there's, you know, probably the only teams that have a chance to beat them would be in their conference. And those are two juggernauts. And then I don't even know if they can.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be touched either. And I'm always careful about saying that after how I hyped up Shiloh Christian, how they wouldn't have been touched in the 4A during football. I go back to that always, but yeah, like you said, I mean, you just look at the depth across this. I mean, they pretty much have the kind of depth that Jonesboro does, basically. I mean, they're stacked with Division I. When you think of Savannah Scott and Chloe Clardy in 23, Chloe Clardy, one of the top girls player, I think top 30 or 40 players in the country. And then senior Jaden Thomas, who's signed to go play with Louisiana Tech. I mean, they've just got so much not just college talent, but legit D1 talent. And, you know, I know that Louisiana Tech might not be a Power 5 school, but historically you look at their women's program, one of the greatest of all time. And so this is just a absolutely stacked team that just goes without saying. So, and some of the top games that we have for the boys' side, Tuesday, the 1A1 West region, you got the new school sitting at 28-3 playing County Line 28-3 as well. County Line won that first game 45-36. These are two of the better teams in the boys' rankings in the class 1A, and County Line had won 45-36 in the first matchup on January 7th. Nate, I know we had talked about these two teams a couple of weeks ago, and we weren't sure where County Line is. It's in Franklin County, right outside of Charleston, like 5 miles outside of town. So another one of those really good small town basketball teams where there's not really much in that town, but maybe a post office and a gas station. I'm not sure if that's the case here, but I would imagine there's maybe not much more than that. So, and then another 1A matchup out of the 1A4 Wonderview at Westside Greer's Ferry, two of the top teams there fighting for conference supremacy. 6A West, Bentonville West at Fayetteville, and also Harbor at Bentonville. Thursday, out of the 2A8, you've got Woodlawn at Junction City. Out of the 3A3, Osceola at Walnut Ridge. Friday, 2A4, Lavaca at Acorn, however you want to pronounce it. 5A South, Lake Hamilton at Lakeside. Lake Hamilton won that first matchup. Lakeside trying to keep pace there in the 5A South. That's looking like it's going to be Lake Hamilton's as of now. 6A West, Bentonville West at Bentonville. And then our game of the week Tuesday, which I will be at, we'll be covering that one. Parkview at Maumelle, a top five matchup. Nate, I'll tell you, I think that both of these teams would agree with me when I say they don't really like each other based on some previous matchups that we've seen. This is going to be an outstanding matchup. This is one I think that we're really going to find out, because both of these two teams have looked really good this year. Parkview's only lost, I don't think they have an in-state loss. I believe all of them are out of state. They lost they lost to Magnolia in the King Cotton Classic. Other than that, they've lost to, I think it was Cardinal Hayes and the Hoop Hall, and then there was one other one. So they've looked really good. Maumelle's looked really good. They took one, Maumelle did, on the chin to Bentonville by about 30 points in December in one of those tournaments. And so they've had some really good wins, but it's kind of like, okay, who's going to take – they're both top five teams right now, but will Maumelle really take that next step? Right now, it's pretty much, I think most people would agree, Jonesboro at the top. And then right after that, you've got Maumelle, Parkview, Marion. There's a lot of teams right there that's like you're not really sure who that second spot is. And I think we're going to find that out, or at least we're going to get a lot better glimpse on Tuesday night when these two teams square off.
Yeah, I think Maumelle might be the more complete team. And when you talk about that guard court, Parkview may be a little more physical. I mean, as far as, you know, some of the height that they have with their skill guys. I think the turning point for their season might have been losing to Magnolia. And I know they turned back and they lost the team at New York City, but I think that's, you know, I mean, that team may have given North Little Rock a run. I mean, they sounded pretty good. But the Magnolia game kind of stuck in Scotty Thurman's craw, because I think they felt like they should have won that. They didn't play particularly well. Ford had a terrific game. And I think that I waited outside the dressing room for him to talk to him after that game for about 30 minutes. And I think that he was really using that game as a teaching tool for his club to say, we're a lot better team than we showed tonight. We in the conference season can't play like this. And you look what's happened in the conference season. They've played well and they've gotten on a run. And I think he knew that he talked to me a little bit about the post game, that they have the potential, they have the talent, but they have to put it together. And I think they have. And I think you're going to see that Tuesday night that they're going to play really well. And, you know, could come down to those two guards that Maumelle has, Garland and Daughtry Jr. I mean, they're the kind of guys you want to handle the ball when it's a tight game in the fourth quarter. And they can get you a couple buckets when you need them. And so that could give them the slight edge. I like Garland going there. If Garland doesn't go to Maumelle, I don't know if they're the team they are right now.
Yeah, I definitely think they're still maybe top 15, top 10, top 15 possibly. But, yeah, top five, I think that just brings them up a whole nother. That's pretty much what I had mentioned in the inaugural rankings there at the beginning of the year was – he might be that final missing piece, because last year we continuously go back to, they only lost by two to Jonesboro in the state championship. And so he might be that final piece, especially when you think about Jamal Summons, really like him off the bench. Riley Wade's one that's really stepped up. And then Nico Davlier, I don't think we talk about him in football all the time, but I don't really think that he's talked about enough as a basketball player. Just like the presence he brings down there low, he can score. I think he actually hit a one or two threes the other night. So he could shoot it from pretty much just about anywhere, but definitely inside the paint, he's a force. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on there. You know, if you're going to watch definitely two games this week, Friday's matchup with the girls at Conway against North Little Rock, and then the guys, Maumelle and Parkview on Tuesday night. So those are our two matchups. Yeah. Yeah. And we still got a couple more weeks left. And so we'll have some good top 25 matchups, but man, it just all goes by so quick. You know, football season rolls by and basketball flies. And then we get into to baseball and softball, which we'll, of course, as we get into a little bit deeper into February, we'll kind of start rolling some things out of some plans that we have. I think it's going to be great. We got some help for both softball and baseball. And so I think that, we'll be having a lot of really good things rolling out here that you guys will enjoy. And so,
yeah, I just want to say one thing to close.
Yeah.
I want to compliment you. The things that you've done with basketball, the podcast, and you know, I'm starring here with you, but you're the Jordan, I'm the Pippen on this thing. And you've done a great job. And I think what we have shown in our site that we are committed to all high school sports. Obviously football is big. We've covered football really well, I thought. But basketball, I mean, if you're a basketball coach listening to this, we appreciate it. We've heard a lot of feedback. And, you know, last week I was thinking, Kyle, you went from Derrick's to West Memphis to Bentonville to Marion to Magnolia. I mean, the number of towns you mentioned, And you're talking about some towns, you know, county line. They don't get mentioned much. And so we appreciate the coaches and the fans that are letting people know that this is an hour that's worth your time to listen to, and it's going to be the same thing with baseball and softball. You're really going to enjoy it. I'm going to take a back seat and allow some baseball and softball gurus to sit in here with Kyle, and it's going to be good. And I think the coaches of these sports that, you know, don't get as much attention are really going to enjoy this. We've already heard from basketball coaches. And so we want you to know that we really do put a big emphasis on all the sports, and you're going to like the lists that are coming out. Kyle's done a terrific job. You know, you saw the senior list. There's going to be junior and sophomore lists, and then there's going to be position lists that come out. And I just think that's kind of second to none. You know, when you talk about that level of coverage, the game stories that we do, and it's all for free. There's no paywall. So we're happy to do this. Happy to have a guy like Kyle and the other people that Jeff Halperin, Steve Andrews, on board with us, guys that cover all kinds of sports. We feel really glad and blessed to be able to bring this product to Arkansas.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I am thankful for every day, to be able, that you guys trust me to run the podcast and do the rankings. So it's definitely yeah. is very humbling to me that, you know, a national website like this, trust me to, I'm certainly yeah. not perfect, but, you know, I definitely do put a lot into this. And, you know, just like you said about mentioning the towns, of course, we can't go in depth about every single game because there's so many of them. But we certainly, I definitely, each day, multiple hours a day on Twitter and talking with various coaches and players and stuff like that, you know, we try, like kind of like what we mentioned with Haley Weirich, you know, that's a big deal. Being sure. homecoming queen and then coming out and dropping 34 points, or an Austin Myers type thing when you're participating in the locker room for the Landers Award, then go drop 32 points in a game. You know, stuff like that I try to yeah. look for, and always, whether it's a 1A school or a 6A, to try to always give a shout out for that. And, you know, we try to mention as many teams as we can. Now, the smaller schools, you know, we will be going more in depth on once we get into the state tournaments and stuff like that, and there's less. But of course, with right now with hundreds of games a week, it's hard to touch on everybody, but we certainly try to give everybody their due credit. But well, that will do it for episode 16, guys. Of course, you can always listen on the website scorebooklive.com under the Arkansas tab in the top left corner, or on Spotify. Also, too, if there's anything we're missing, please let us know. arprepextra@gmail.com. That's XTRA. And we would love to hear from you. For Nate Olson, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.